This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Buy or sell on this Monday edition of the whole show. I read this off to Mark Johnson. He kind of just laughed at it. FanDuel Sportsbook wrote out, basically just documented what Deion Sanders has done in 3 years. 16-19 record, one winning season, 0-1 in bowl games, 2-8 versus ranked opponents. Never ranked higher than number 16 in AP poll, which is never ranked higher in three. Okay, that was a weird stat, I thought. They write, is it time for Colorado to move on from Coach Prime? Buy or sell? Sell. Mike, sell. There's no... Now, the season's gone worse than I thought it was. I didn't think it was going to be a great season. I thought they'd be pushing to be a bowl team. But I don't see... I don't see this team even close to where they are without what Coach Prime has done for the Buffs. And... you guys know me. I've been critical. I'm critical of a lot of teams on this show. I was critical about the Rams. I was critical in saying it was time to move on from Jay Norvell. I do not feel the same way about Coach Prime. Simple fact, guys, it's different. He's different than any other coach because of what he brings to your program, the money and all that. He doesn't get to be judged the same way we judge other coaches. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. And Norvell wasn't bringing in the cash.
No, and all these other guys are products of, you know, the LSUs and all that. Like, they're bringing it in anyway.
Yeah, they're bring. Yeah, no matter what, right. They're going to bring it in.
You get could be a new the coach.
We just could, imagine if we could Prime spin it for was you. At LSU.
Right, yeah. So...
although, they're less... I think they would be less patient... at LSU than they would at CU.
Yeah, but he would bring a lot more money on to the what they already got, I think, right? So you're selling that, right? Coach Prime, not even near a hot seat. That
no,
hot seat is in the freezer no. still.
If you have a disastrous season
next year,
four,
yeah, then you start having that conversation. But we'll see. Pretty bad this year. But, I mean, 3 years before hiring him, 9-21, one winning season, but that was the short COVID year. Wasn't that the year Carl Durrell was named the Pac-12 Coach of the Year? Was that COVID year, I want to say?
I feel like a lot of stuff that happened during COVID year kind of doesn't count. Kind of has an asterisk.
They were 0-1 in bowl games before that. 0-7 versus ranked opponents. Never ranked higher than number 21 in the AP poll and ranked just that 1 week at number 21 in 2020. So... Brian Howell putting that out there. Thank you. I mean, that's common sense has got to come in here. I don't care. You love Prime, you hate Prime. Now's not the time to talk about hot seats for Coach Prime. Buy or sell? The Broncos will end up with the number one seed in the AFC West. Are they becoming the true AFC contender? You're buying it all day.
Is there any surprise?
No, there's no surprise. No surprise here. They are number two. How about this? Maybe this is easier. At one point, they will be the number one seed. Maybe they don't hold on to it. The Colts are off this weekend, Mike. They have a bye week this weekend. So if the Broncos win, they would be 9-2. Wouldn't that, for the moment, give them the number one seed?
For the moment, yes.
So that maybe that's an easier one. I mean, that's basically just asking, do you think the Broncos are beating the Kansas City Chiefs? Will they be the number one seed after next weekend?
They will be the number one seed.
How confident.
And then they'll go back to possibly number two if the Colts win.
How confident are you that the Broncos offense can really fix this thing?
It's not going to be a one-week process.
And is this as simple as just Sean Payton won't get out of his own way? Or my other question is, do they not have the dogs to turn this offense around? And Sean Payton is trying to dress this thing up as best he possibly can. I think it's obvious to just go after, well, Sean Payton's ego, and I've done the same thing. Bo Nix, and he's trying to showcase Bo too much. He just can't stay committed to the run game. Or do they just simply not have the dogs that Sean Payton is confident? Now, Marvin Mims Jr. being out the last couple of games has certainly played a part in this. But let's not sit here and pretend that Denver didn't score 44 against Dallas, that Denver didn't score 33 and a quarter against the Giants. I mean, and 21 against the Eagles, not great, but 28 against the Bengals, bad defense again. But they should have been at least able to score in the 20s against the Raiders. Is it fair to say, man, you went up against a really tough Texans defense, and you got the Raiders on a short week, and it was kind of a trap game. Is that the most logical way to look at this, or
in the wind,
or do you in the wind, or do you look at this and say, no, this is the offense, this is who they are? I mean, it was 2 weeks ago they put up 44 against the Cowboys. I don't care if they're a bad defense. The Raiders are a bad team. They have a good, better defensive line, as Mr. Albright told us on Friday's show. But this isn't a good football team.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things, and some of it has to do with Bonix needing to learn to throw better, set his feet.
When does that conversation run its course? Bo Nix needs to learn. When does that run its course to the point where it's like he's not needing to learn anymore? He's just not learning. He's not getting it. Will he get it? Colin Cowherd was going off on his show. I saw a bunch of clips over the weekend, but I think it was Friday, basically saying he's saying that Sean Payton has lost trust in Bo, and I wouldn't put it past Sean to be looking for another quarterback fairly soon. Now, keep in mind, Cowherd and Payton are friends. But also keep in mind, Cowherd was once an ESPN guy. He knows what butters the biscuit, Mike. He knows that he can get clicks, and right now the Broncos are a hot football team with a bad offense, with not a great offense, and he knows he can double down on that. And let's talk about the problem, and that's, okay, let's go to Bo Nix, and let's talk about the end, like him not being a franchise quarterback for Denver.
You know, if I was Sean Payton and I was losing confidence in Bo, I would sit Bo and I would sit Jarrett Stidham next to each other, and all those bad throws, the bad footwork, I'd say, now Bo, what did you do wrong here? And then have Jarrett say the exact say the same thing, and have them share their thoughts, and just kind of like Bo. I have a guy right here who I'm going to start if you're not careful.
Bo's going to answer all those questions correctly, Mike. So he knows what he's doing. He knows the flaws in his game. He's a smart guy. He studies this. In fact, this is why I'm optimistic that I don't know if they win. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. But I think the offense will pick it up a little bit more because I think give Bo Nix more time to evaluate and study might be just what the doctor ordered for him. I'd be really curious to see what Denver does with this mini bye week coming at. And I know Kansas City's on; they were on their bye week, but I'd be curious to see what he does with more time to prepare for a pretty good Kansas City defense. You know, they're good in a lot of those categories. They have some very good players on the defensive side at all phases. But Denver last year, Mike, after the bye week, they played the Indianapolis Colts. Now, it wasn't a Bo Nix domination, but he did throw three touchdown passes. He didn't have a great game, but he threw three interceptions too. He threw three touchdown passes on the way to the Broncos scoring 31 points. 21 of those were from Bo doing his thing. And then defensively, obviously, they came up with some significant plays too. But I just think that with more time, you might see a better Bo Nix approach here against Kansas City. And then after that fact, you know, you've got, then you have your real bye week. And what does that look like going up against the Commanders?
Cameron Deers aren't very good.
No, and Daniels is out, and I just don't. I think that the Broncos should have, at the very least, two more wins on their schedule. At the very least. The very, very bottom. I mean, they should be able to beat Washington on the road, and they should be able to beat the Raiders on the road. I think these are kind of coin flips right now the rest of the way. Coin flip against the Chiefs, coin flip against the Packers at home, coin flip against the Jags at home. Probably, I don't know if it's a coin flip at Kansas City. But I do think that this game is obviously, it's very important for Denver if they want to establish themselves as a top contender, get a good seed in this playoff run. Because now it's not about making the playoffs, Mike. It's about where you're going to be set up. And that would be pretty damn phenomenal. Here we are 8-2, and you got a lot of people complaining. Denver's about to go to the playoffs back-to-back in back-to-back seasons. We were getting close to that 10-year mark where they had missed the playoffs entirely. So I'm not going to apologize for where they are, but I know, man, they have a Super Bowl winning defense. And if you can just get your offense to be average, and that 10 points against the Raiders, they were below average. They were below average against the Texans. They were below average for most of that Giants game. They were below average against the Jets. That's when you start to see a trend and worry if that's just who Denver is. And I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm close. I mean, you lose something like 21-10 to Kansas City. You know, you remember that scenario I set up at the beginning of the season for you, Michael? You just kind of went there with the Jarrett Stidham conversation. I said it. I believe the Broncos are going to be a good team. I think they're a playoff team again. I have them winning 11 games. But in winning 11 games, is there still a shot that Bo Nix could get benched? Do you believe that that's more of a possibility now than you were willing to entertain at the beginning of the season?
No, I don't think so.
What if they score 10 points against the Chiefs? And he's not good. He goes, you know, he doesn't throw a touchdown pass. Throws an interception. No? Going there?
No. I mean, you'd have to, the Chiefs have a pretty decent defense.
Really good defense. They're one of the tops.
You'd have to play a really bad team. You'd have to do this another week in a row before you even consider that.
Yeah,
and it has to be against a really terrible defense.
I just don't think it's going to get there. I don't know that Bo's going to be that quarterback Sean Payton thinks he's going to be, or at least said he was going to be in the offseason. But I don't think we're going to be messing with a quarterback controversy or anything like that at the end of the season. And a will Denver draft a quarterback? Bo's not been great, but he hasn't necessarily been awful either. And there's weird quarterback play all over the league. Eastside Chris texting in. Brady, I'm more worried about Sean cooking up more stuff with the time off. Yeah, that third and one's going to haunt us all, isn't it? Third and one, you go for a weird screen design to Cortland Sutton. I don't think, people say what they're doing now isn't sustainable. I don't think Sean Payton in his brain feels good about that play call. I think he fights it. He fights the media on that stuff. But deep down, man, he knows. He knows that wasn't right. Come on. He's had a handful of those, more than a handful of those this year. He's got to know some of that stuff's not right.
You know, that was one thing I wanted to nitpick, and I don't recall nitpicking last week, but there were a lot of times where you had players who had the first down.
Yeah.
They had the first down, and they decided to get cute. And that was one of them. I don't blame Cortland Sutton for doing that because that wasn't the design. But there were at least three plays where you're like, get that first down, and it's like, well, let me go the lateral for just a bit and see if I can get 20 yards. Nope.
Yeah, but
didn't get the first down, time to punt.
Isn't the guy that you trust not to do any of that stuff J.K. Dobbins? Like, that guy's just going to go for it. He's going to get you yard. Third and one, go with J.K. Dobbins, man. We don't need to win awards for cool plays. You just move the move. This is what I'm talking about with the third down conversions. Like, that's another play. You just run the ball like you're supposed to. You probably get it. And then you extend the drive. And who knows what happens after that. Colahoma says, John Elway, year two, had a quarterback rating of 76.8, 18 touchdowns and 15 INTs. I think Bo is going to work through the sophomore slump and be pretty good.
I think so, too. I don't think he's going to get benched. But really, I think the play calling is a lot of the problems. The problem that the Broncos are having is some of that ridiculous play calling. Some of it is, I think, he has had a few drops.
Yeah.
He has had some really terrible throws. And maybe some of that is they know exactly what he likes to do. So maybe he needs to change what he likes to do.
Yeah. Let me ask you this weird question. The Broncos were 8-2 in 2015, the year that they won the Super Bowl. They were 8-2. Brock Osweiler was the starting quarterback. Manning had been pulled after during the Kansas City game. He got hurt. But then he just wasn't great. But they were 8-2. They beat a bad Chicago Bears team that year, 17-15, to get that eighth win. Who's better right now? Brock Osweiler at that time or Bo Nix right now?
It feels like Brock Osweiler at that time.
Yeah. But he wasn't perfect. But not much, if
but
there's
also,
a debate.
I felt confident in the weapons that we had back then. Okay, I feel, other than J.K. Dobbins, like I feel more confident in the wide receivers we had back then. And, you know, we actually had tight ends who could catch the ball.
That was a weird year, though. Yeah, and probably a better roster. But do you remember, they go 8-2 and they beat the Bears. And then coming up next, it's like, uh-oh. They got to fix that offense because they scored 13 against the Chiefs the week before that. Barely got 24 against the Colts before that. Now they got the Tom Brady-led New England Patriots. Wasn't that the snow game?
That was pretty sweet.
And C.J. Anderson went off for 113 yards. He only had 15 carries.
I missed C.J. Anderson.
Yeah. And then they beat San Diego 17-3. Offense still not amazing. They lost to Oakland 15-12. They lost to Pittsburgh 34-27.
That Oakland game, though, you have to remember there were five sacks. I don't remember who it was. Five sacks.
Yeah.
One guy. And that 15 because I think it was a safety.
Yeah.
Like the offensive line was not good.
And that guy that got those five sacks, pretty darn good. And
yeah,
Khalil Mack
and the right tackle, the right tackle was not good.
Well, and then so Denver lost in that Chargers game. Where was it? And then you know it was the Raiders game. Excuse me, but 15-12, it was bad. And then you came out and lost to Pittsburgh 34-27, and then they beat Cincinnati. In the battle of the backups. And then you beat San Diego, and that was when Manning came in the second half. But then look at the playoff run. I mean, you beat Pittsburgh 23-16. You beat New England 20-18. You beat Carolina in the Super Bowl 24-10. The offense never really woke up, Mike. It's fair to say sometimes it never really... Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you really just need your defense to just be a world beater defense that they are. And there are concerns to that because last year they were really good defense too, but they got bad once December hit. So there's a lot of comparisons you can draw between this Broncos team and that 2015 team. Well, Brady Bowe's a starter. They were without their starter, Peyton Manning. You could make an argument that Bowe physically was much better than Peyton Manning that year. That Bo right now is a better quarterback physically than Peyton Manning was. And I don't even think that's an argument. Bo's better than Peyton Manning, just not between the years yet.
Yeah, Bo's not throwing ducks. He is overthrowing receivers, but overall more accurate quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Manning had just, it looked like.
And he can run.
Yeah, he couldn't get the ball to where he needed it to go with Peyton. But he was making the right reads and making the right checks. And that's ultimately, offensively, what got them through. But their defense was just very, very good. 25 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. On the other side, Broncos, Chiefs. Let's take a glance at the Chiefs. What to know about the players for Kansas City and just how good or maybe not so good they are this year. Because they're not lighting the world on fire. They're sitting at 5-4. They had won 3 in a row, and then they lost to the Bills, and then the Bills get smoked by the Dolphins. It's a little up in the air right now. So why not the Denver Broncos? The Colts would say, well, here we are. The Colts are human, too. We'll get to all that, which is weird we're saying that. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Avalanche games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Big City Roadhouse. It's 1:30. I don't know if you guys have had lunch yet, but I have a suggestion for you. If you haven't, stop by and try some of their tavern-style pizza or their wings, or you know, go big on this Monday. Go for the steak. Go for it. No one's going to stop you. You're an adult. Well, maybe if you're a kid, you're listening and you can't have steak right now, but you know, most of you are adults. Go be an adult and have a steak at Big City Roadhouse. Just go
have a pizza.
I already said that. I already said tavern-style pizza, Mike. Thanks for listening.
Pizza is above steak.
Ooh, that's a good poll question right there. You're getting into Good Morning NoCo territory with that kind of question, Mike. That would draw. Pizza. I would say pizza, depending on. Yeah, and if it's Big City Roadhouse, I'll go pizza.
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 Any pizza over steak.
Is pizza the go-to for you over everything?
Yeah,
well, except for lasagna.
Even over Mexican food. I love Mexican food.
I thought lasagna was your go-to.
Well, lasagna is kind of like my go-to homemade food if I knew how to make food.
Okay.
Like if I knew how
somebody
to cook
else is home
and people
it.
Trusted me in the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, trust Big City Roadhouse in the kitchen. They know what they're doing, okay? And you know what? I still haven't tried it yet. That's going to be a this week thing, though. 10 a.m. to noon, they're doing breakfast burritos at Big City Roadhouse every single day. So I've got to go try the breakfast burrito. That's got to happen.
And you have to bring me one.
No, I don't think so. I'm not going to do that. No.
What if I gave you money and then you brought back a breakfast burrito?
What if you gave me extra money and I'll bring back one for myself? Or I'll just stay there and eat it there and then save the money for later.
And I can host your show.
You want to take a crack at this bad boy?
Yes, we will talk.
I wasn't calling you bad boy.
The sports of Star Trek.
I wasn't calling you bad boy. I was saying you want to take a crack at this bad boy. Not do you want to take a crack at this, comma bad boy. So I was not calling you bad boy.
Well, I am kind of a bad boy.
Yeah, you are kind of a rebel. I think people get that.
But I do have a cause.
Aaron says, "I'm sorry, but steak always wins," and that is tough. Over the years, that's been more difficult for me because pizza just makes my body hurt. I don't know how you eat so much pizza, man. We ordered pizza this weekend, and I'm still recovering from the pizza.
My body always hurts, so it doesn't matter what I eat.
No, you don't care. Okay. I want to get to this real quick. Derbs, dude down the hall and I were just talking. Are there Nuggets fans really talking about the narrative of, oh, man, the Nuggets really lost that trade on Michael Porter Jr. For Cam Johnson? This is exactly what we told you would happen, bro. The Nets would be bad, but Porter would probably light it up. He's averaging 23.2 3 points per game. Cam Johnson, I don't think he is anywhere close to that. That's not what this was about. You knew you were sacrificing the points. It was about clearing the salary or clearing his contract so you could go get better players. And Cam Johnson, who Derbs and I were just talking about it, give him the amount of shots that MPJ is now getting in Brooklyn. And who knows? Cam's getting close to that. That was 100% what this was going to be. Trade MPJ to Brooklyn, a bad team, and they're basically going to say, hey, MPJ, you got a bunch of new dudes playing. Just go on and go out and be yourself. No. If you're a real person, then you know that that's just absolutely insane that you would assume that that just because the stats tell you that MPJ is better than Cameron Johnson, you are wrong. 110% wrong.
Yeah, I can't believe these Nuggets fans are complaining about that. You saw me emphatically in this room here making dollar signs going, they freed up cap space.
You want to hear something cool, Mike, the more you know. Nikola Jokic now, the most 30-point triple-doubles on 70-plus field goal percentage. That's the most in NBA history. He did that against Indiana. He had 32 points. He was 10 of 14. He had 14 rebounds and 14 assists. The most 30-point triple-doubles on a 70-plus field goal percentage. Yes. Yeah. I mean, isn't that something, man? Isn't that special? What can you say? I mean, David Adelman said it best, though. He's like, guys, just enjoy it. Stop trying to come up with the right words because you're never going to see this again. And that's the guy who has to continue being a head coach, hopefully, of the Nuggets well after Nikola Jokic is gone. It's just kind of ridiculous, man. That another year and yet another dominating start. Nine games in. We're already nine games in. The Nuggets are 7-2. And it just, everything about it looks great. You know, you whooped up on Golden State. You're supposed to. Golden State was without most of their guys, or two of their top dudes at least, and Curry was out. Jimmy Butler did play that game, though. But Denver just worked them, 129-104. Joker had 26 points, 9 boards, and 9 assists, but doesn't need to stay in to finish those because Jonas Valanciunas came in and had 16 points. He hit 2 threes. This is what we're talking about. You're able to go out and make these moves with this bench, and Tim Hardaway Jr. has been very good. He and Joker seem to be developing a very good relationship. That game against the Pacers aren't very good, but you won by 17. Joker 32 points and 14 boards and 14 assists. I don't know, man. It's nuts. Jalen Pickett started that game. Jamal Murray was out. So was Aaron Gordon. And you still win by 17 points. That'll do it. And the bench unit putting up nice numbers for this team. So the Nuggets are good. Okay. Breaking news, Mike. Nuggets are good. The Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, is very good coming off of the bye, Michael. He is 22-4 in his career coming off of a bye as a head coach. He was 13-1 after a bye with the Eagles and is 9-3 with the Chiefs. How does that make you feel? That doesn't make you feel any kind of way, huh?
Look, it makes me feel that the NFL has so much confidence in the Broncos that they gave the Chiefs the bye before the Broncos game.
Okay, there's that fun thing. I mean, listen, the Chiefs are an interesting team at this point. They're not dominating. You know, they did dominate the Commanders and the Raiders, but outside of that, it's been kind of up and down. You know, they lose the first two games of the season. They lost to the Chargers, lost to the Eagles. They beat up on the Giants. They did beat the Ravens. Lost to the Jags. And then they go on a run. They kind of worked Detroit, which Detroit's doing something interesting too. Dan Campbell's taking over play calling duties. That kind of worked for one game. That's what I like. I like coaches getting creative, and I like what he had to say after that, but we'll get to that later. They beat up on the Raiders. They beat up on the Commanders. So what does that mean? You're starting to feel it. Well, no, you lost to the Bills. Well, the Bills kind of have the Chiefs number in the regular season. Then the Bills turn around and get smoked by the Dolphins. I don't know what it all means, but I just know that the Chiefs are good. They're not one of those where their record is who they are, 5-4. The Chiefs feel, every time I look at that record, I'm shocked. They feel like they should be 7-2. But a couple of interesting losses to start the season have them in a tight spot in the AFC West. But if they beat Denver on Sunday, that flips the division race completely upside down. And when you have, I mean, they've got to have the biggest names in coordinators in the NFL. Their OC is Matt Nagy. Their DC is Steve Spagnuolo, Spags. This is just a good unit. You know, you got Rashee Rice and what he's been able to do now with this team. Patrick Mahomes is putting up big numbers, 2,300 yards, 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. This defense is pretty good. They're 6th overall. They're 7th against the pass, 12th against the rush, 4th in scoring. Some studs on this team. You know, in all three phases, they got Nick Bolton. They got Chris Jones. They got Trent McDuffie in the secondary. This is going to be a wild football game. Hopefully it is going to be a wild football game. Hopefully Denver's right there. I don't know. As I start researching and going through everything, yeah, here on a Monday, I'm a little concerned about this football game.
You say wild football game. I think it's going to be another something like 10-7.
You think so?
It's just going to be
well, it could be wild like that
on defense.
It could be wild in the sense that the best quarterback in football has a bad game. Faith says, Broncos just need a good dominating win. This is the week to really prove themselves. Yeah, they haven't had that yet. The Eagles win doesn't feel as cool now. The Raiders, nobody cares. The Texans win doesn't feel as cool now. That was a big game going in, and then C.J. Stroud goes out early, and it's Mills. It's Mills' house, and you kind of struggled there. So Broncos-Chiefs game would be a Monday night football windfall. I wondered if maybe they would try to flex that game, but I think they need more notice, and CBS has a certain amount of games that they can protect, Mike, and they're like, hell no. Yeah, don't touch that one. So that game will still be 2:25 on CBS on Sunday afternoon. Going to be a monster matchup. 41 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Formed by two UNC Bears alumni over 20 years ago, Renaissance Insurance. You've heard me talk about them a lot. They always have your backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weldon and Larimer County. And they're also the go-to for farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. Mahomes is not the texter here from Oklahoma. I like that name. That's a good nickname on the First Advantage text line.
I'm thinking this person is
Colorado,
like,
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get where you're going. Mahomes is not that great under pressure, and Denver is great at applying pressure. Is Mahomes not? I mean, that's the way you get to any quarterback, but I've always thought Mahomes was pretty darn good. Texter says, I think that will be the key to the Broncos winning. Yeah, I mean, getting pressure on Patrick Mahomes, regardless of who that quarterback is, if you could get pressure to him on him, that would be huge. Keep in mind, though, you're without Patrick Surtain, and that's still without him, and that certainly is a big blow. I would feel a lot better if he was playing in this football game. Also got this news, Mike. Alex Singleton shared this on his X account. I shared with my teammates and coaches that I underwent a successful surgery on Friday for testicular cancer after being diagnosed last week. Thankfully, we believe the cancer was caught early with a great prognosis for me and my family. While we are still awaiting some additional test results, I fully expect to return to the field in the coming weeks. So, obviously, first things first, hope he's okay, praying for the dude, his family, all of that, man. I love Alex Singleton. But, you know, defensively, that's just another hit for this team. Going up against a pretty good Kansas City Chiefs team this weekend. 48 minutes after the hour. Michael, what did we learn? Coming up next here on The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Hall of Fame Caps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn today on this 10th day of November? We learned that because of who the Broncos beat and who the Patriots beat, as of right now, yeah, Broncos are the number two seed in the AFC. If they win on Sunday, Mike, the Colts don't play. So the Broncos would have the most wins in the AFC. Beat the Chiefs on Sunday for a moment at least. You could fly so very close to the sun and be the number one seed in the AFC. That would be 11 weeks into the season. That was really too tough a math for me to come up with on the fly. We also learned that basketball's pretty good in the area. The Nuggets are rolling. Well, the Avs are rolling. The Nuggets, the Avs, the Broncos. Only one regulation loss. And we say regulation because of the Avs. Only one. No regulation losses. Excuse me. I don't think any regulation losses at home between the Broncos, Nuggets, and the Avs. That is so freaking cool. So awesome to see that. News I didn't get to. We got some disturbing MLB stuff that we'll get to tomorrow. Also going with the trend of gambling in the sports world. Michael, what did you learn today?
Well, I learned that, as usual, not everybody is as positive as me, but pretty positive about the Broncos, but a little apprehensive.
A little. Picture on Friday, everybody knows that. We got a lot of work to do leading up to that, but we're rolling. We're five games over 500. We're going to increase that this weekend.
I learned that the picks are on Friday.
And everybody knows that. And now you know that. And everyone else out there knows that. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.